Chinese activist Chen Guangcheng left the American embassy where he'd taken refuge yesterday after the Chinese government assured American officials the dissident would not be harmed. U.S. officials deny Chen was pressured to leave the embassy. Here's State Department spokesman Mark Toner.
Ambassador Locke, others were with him when he was leaving the embassy. They asked him several times, I believe, if he was ready to go. He said, yes, I'm ready to go.
But it appears he's changed his mind. Now, Chen Guangcheng says he fears for his family's safety unless they're all moved abroad, and he's asked for asylum in the U.S. All this going on as those high-level meetings continue between the U.S. and China. Joining us now, Christopher Johnson. Until 2 weeks ago, Christopher was the CIA's top China analyst. He's now senior advisor for the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Christopher, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about this crisis with the Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng might affect the negotiations going on right now at the annual meetings between the U.S. and China.
Well, I think it will probably wind up overshadowing much of those discussions. Obviously, the deal was arranged to try to prevent that from happening. But now that the deal appears to be unraveling, or at least still very much in flux, it has the serious potential to make those talks very difficult. As we saw yesterday, Secretary Clinton and President Hu Jintao had a very tense exchange on the matter, and that's likely to continue to happen.
Well, what kind of assurances could the Chinese government have given the U.S. that they were not going to interfere with Chen Guangcheng or his family? How could the U.S. have been assured of that?
Well, that's really the question here, is what type of assurances were offered, and then, you know, what type of guarantees the U.S. was provided in terms of guaranteeing his safety. I mean, I was somewhat surprised, I have to admit, when I saw that he was released into Chinese custody, because, of course, they don't have the best track record on the human rights issue. And then Mr. Chen, of course, is a very determined activist, determined to basically foment the collapse of the Communist Party. And as soon as he started agitating again, even if it had not happened as quickly as it did, then the Chinese would have been very strongly inclined to arrest him again, and that would cause the situation that we're now seeing. I just simply thought it would take weeks and months rather than hours to occur.
Well, how does the U.S. go about maintaining that balance between not coming over and trying to strong-arm China, which is basically impossible, but also pushing for human rights? How does one go about successfully, I guess, motivating China to get a better track record on human rights?
Mm-hmm. I think this is the problem with this particular case. Obviously, the administration, quite rightly, in the past has been approaching the human rights issue very carefully and doing it behind the scenes and having quiet talks with senior Chinese officials. I think they've learned over time that that is the way to be the most effective in terms of having the Chinese respond. But of course, in this case, with all of the media attention and the focus on it, that became very difficult. And now, of course, the entire thing is playing out before the eyes of the world.
We're speaking with Christopher Johnson, who's a senior advisor now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. So explain to me how this calculus works. Who stands to lose more here? Will the Chinese possibly lose face if Chen and his family end up with seeking asylum and getting it in the United States?
Well, it's very difficult to see how it will play out. But of course, you know, the Chinese, once Chen was released, immediately demanded an apology for the United States for their role in facilitating Chen's flight to the embassy. So that very much shows the need of the Chinese government to save face with its public and not look like that it is somehow caving to U.S. demands. So my sense is it will be very difficult for the Chinese to agree in the near term to have Chen now leave with Secretary Clinton or perhaps anytime soon. On the U.S. side, of course, there's the look of this case now that they were duped by the Chinese, and that's going to be very difficult for them to try to work their way out of here.
I mean, could the U.S. really have been duped by the Chinese? These aren't stupid people. It's not like they're not aware of the Chinese government's track record or what's at play here. Are we really talking about duplicity?
Well, I think it's very important to get a better sense of exactly what the terms were. That hasn't emerged yet. And what understandings the U.S. side had from the Chinese that Mr. Chen would be safe. But again, as I mentioned earlier, I think you have to look at the long track record of the Chinese of reneging on such deals. And then you have to wonder what assurances the U.S. was provided. And did the U.S. Side perhaps see a tactical victory before them and grab it without necessarily looking at the long-term strategic consequences of that decision?
We're speaking with Christopher Johnson. 2 weeks ago, it was the CIA's top China analyst. Now is at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Christopher, it almost feels as though the United States, in the end, really needs to be able to bring Chen and his family to this country for asylum. How could they go about doing that? How do they negotiate that?
Well, I think, you know, we'll have to go back to the drawing board with our negotiations with the Chinese. But, of course, this issue of medical parole, Mr. Chen is saying this morning already that he would like to come to the United States for medical treatment. That's been an effective mechanism in the past, and I have to think that that's where our diplomats will be going today in terms of trying to negotiate that as a possible face-saving gesture for the Chinese. What was interesting, though, was that the Chinese apparently did not agree to a medical parole for him early in the process, saying that he had to stay in China. So perhaps that's not going to work in the way that it did in the past, now that China, after the global financial crisis and other things, is feeling much more assertive about its own position in the world.
You know, it's been a long time since any Chinese citizen, not since Tiananmen as a Chinese citizen, really taken refuge in the U.S. embassy. But is there a danger of a precedent here that if Chen does end up seeking and getting asylum in the United States, that both the U.S. and Chinese negotiators might be concerned that others would seek the same thing?
I think that's definitely a possibility. As you saw in Assistant Secretary Kurt Campbell's comments yesterday that were published, he made clear to say that the circumstances in Chen's case were extremely unusual and that the United States did not expect it to be repeated. But of course, that also does highlight the possibility that it will be repeated.
So do these high-level talks, this annual meeting that's going on where Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is attending and Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, does that make it more or less likely that Chen will get what he wants?
I think that it's a mixed bag. On the one hand, it could make it more likely in that the pressure of having those high-level visitors, as Secretary Albright just said, could cause a deal. On the other hand, it might cause the Chinese to retrench more firmly.
Christopher Johnson, up until 2 weeks ago, was the CIA's top China analyst. He's now senior advisor for the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Christopher, thanks so much.
Thank you.